Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, are Christians and conservatives now domestic terrorists? For our edification, for your information, let me just tell you, according to the Biden administration, we are domestic terrorists. Now, how do they make that determination? Because we are in America, and we are terrorists as they view it. And the Biden administration has set up a commission on domestic terrorism. So how do we become domestic terrorists as Christians and as conservatives? Anyone who believes the election was a coup, anyone who believes the 2020 election was a coup, anyone who believes that the election was fraudulent, anyone who believes that the Dominion voting machines were absolutely rigged, anyone that believes that the Trump election was overthrown, anyone that believes that President Donald J. Trump was the real winner of the election, anyone that believes, ladies and gentlemen, that the social media and the big tech, anyone that believes that they're wrong in what they're doing, puts us in the category that we're simply called domestic terrorists. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in an era when, as Christians, if we believe that the Word of God should be dominating in our lives, if we believe that we need to take a stand for morals and ethics and values, if we believe that we have the responsibility to be the watchman on the wall and warning the world and the nation in particular of the coming danger, if we believe we need to speak out on it, just as Mike Lindell did, MyPillow.com, as he's called, Mike Lindell's now being persecuted and prosecuted with an attempt to absolutely destroy his life and his business simply because he stood with President Donald Trump. Anyone that stood with Trump in the election, about 75 million of us, we're now considered domestic terrorists. We're now considered an alien, if you please, in our own homeland. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, anything that you say or anything that I say that's against the Biden administration, this current administration, we're considered domestic terrorists. So if you've wondered, what am I talking about, Christians are Christians and conservatives now domestic terrorists, the answer to that question is yes, according to the Biden administration. Plus, ladies and gentlemen, if you question anything about COVID-19, hear me, if you question anything about COVID-19, if you question its origin, if you question its development, if you question Dr. Fauci, if you question Dr. Fauci's involvement in the creation, yes, COVID-19 is a created pathogen, man-created pathogen, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, part and parcel of that, expending $3.7 million of American taxpayer dollars. Dr. Fauci is the fountainhead, the key individual that brought about the COVID-19. Now, he's supposed to be the key person that can save us from COVID-19. And if you say anything in the negative sense about Emperor Fauci, then, ladies and gentlemen, you are a domestic terrorist. I am a domestic terrorist. And you say, why, that ought not to be. Bingo, you're exactly right. It ought not to be. But under the current administration, that's exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you challenge the mask wearing in America, if you say that masks are not sufficient, never mind the science, never mind the real science, that CDC is now saying that masks are not a major help, World Health Organization is now saying that the lockdowns were a mistake. OSHA is saying that the mask is no more than putting a chain link fence on your face to keep the gnats out. And if you say that publicly, if you reject that publicly, then you're a domestic terrorist. Where's free speech? Where are our religious liberties? Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at our Bill of Rights, in case you've not read it lately, I'm looking at it now. Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what the Biden administration is doing wholesale. They're literally everything. In fact, Joe Biden's already signed, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's 43 executive orders. And if you analyze the executive orders, you realize the overwhelming majority of them are unconstitutional. Here's an article that reads, headline, A First Amendment Agenda for Biden's First 100 Days. The range of speech-related challenges the new administration will confront is daunting. Many of these challenges involve novel questions at the intersection of free expression and new technologies and will require careful thought and creative solutions from federal agencies, Congress, and the courts. But there are steps the administration can take on its own, and they're doing that by executive orders, ladies and gentlemen. That in itself is unconstitutional. It is unconstitutional for an executive order to counter or eviscerate or change or modulate or to in any way modify our Bill of Rights. That cannot be done by executive order, and yet it's being done. And so the question is, ladies and gentlemen, what are we to do as Christians? How should we respond to that? What ought we to do? In fact, one of the things that I have reminded you of several times is in the little book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah challenges people to work, and they are demonized, they are challenged, and they are rebuked, and they're questioned, and there's derision and deception that takes place in relationship to what they're doing. And Nehemiah said to his people in the 4th chapter, the 20th verse, our God shall fight for us. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our only hope. That's our only help. And it comes from God. We need not put our trust in man, as Psalms 146, verse 3 tells us, but we need to put our trust in God because man cannot help. And so we need to, though we talk about these issues, we need to be aware of them so we'll know what we need to do and we can take a stand verbally. And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we need not cower. We need not sit down. We need not shut up and try to be silent. We need to take a stand. If we don't stand now, when will we stand? If we don't stand now, what will we stand for? Someone said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's what we see taking place today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration is rapidly at work destroying our Bill of Rights. Our freedom of speech is now under grave assault. One of the things that is egregious, that perhaps you're familiar with, and I'll share some thoughts about it at this juncture in our broadcast. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But we come to the point, ladies and gentlemen, that the government now, under the Biden administration, allowing and directing the CIA and the FBI to investigate citizens, American citizens. And a good illustration of that, ladies and gentlemen, it's the first time in the history of America this has been done. But the January the 6th riots, they called them, demonstrations, perhaps a better term for them, at the Capitol. Now they have, the Bank of America was given the directive by the CIA and the FBI to investigate and determine everybody that used their charge card around and in the Beltway of D.C., for January the 5th, 6th, and the 7th. Let me just read you a brief statement, headline in the statement. Bank of America gave private information to the FBI in the Capitol, FBI in the Capitol riot probe. The Bank of America has acknowledged it secretly turned over to the federal investigators the private financial information of customers who made purchases in and around Washington, D.C. at the time of the January 6th riot of the Capitol. The bank, the nation's second largest, identified a total number of 211 customers who met the threshold of interest in the probe, according to an investigation by Fox News, Tucker Carlson reported Thursday. the feds, he said, were looking for people who used a bank card for a hotel and other expenditures. Responding to a request for the comment, Bank of America insisted it was acting in compliance with the law. Quote, "We don't comment on our communications with law enforcement. All banks have responsibilities under federal law to cooperate with law enforcement inquiries in full compliance with the law," according to the statements. And it goes on to talk about this. Carlson arguing that the root of the problem, you have to know what is pointed out and none other of these newly energized and highly empowered extremist hunters. We're called extremist, and so it's the extremist hunters had told us what exactly extremists are. They are hunting for the extremist. They're hunting for the domestic terrorist. They've not outlined, other than in broad brush sense, that we as conservatives, we as Trump supporters, we as Christians, we as religious people in America, we are the domestic terrorist, or extremist, as they are now preferring to call it also. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today Mike Hill. Mike Hill is the former representative of District 1 for the state of Florida in the Florida House of Representatives. Mike, thank you so much for joining us on the air today and taking time out of your busy schedule to discuss the issue of Christians and conservatives now being called domestic terrorists. Speak to that issue and what you feel is taking place and how we as Christians and conservatives ought to respond.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on your show. And as you were just mentioning, the terrible actions that Bank of America took, to where they are providing private citizens' information to law enforcement for no good reason. They are not following a law. They are not. They are actually breaking the law when it comes to private citizens' privacy rights. And when you consider that Apple refused to give the FBI encrypted data from a phone belonging to a Muslim terrorist who killed 14 people. This wasn't some just fishing expedition. This was a terrorist who had killed 14 people, and Apple refused to give that information to the FBI. But then Google also refused to give some artificial intelligence to the Pentagon, but they did help China identify their own people. So these organizations, such as Bank of America and these big tech companies, they pick and choose when they want to cooperate with law enforcement. And in this case, it's obvious that the Bank of America leadership are against the conservative right, which means that they would be against President Trump, and they provided information to the police that has a very broad profile. First of all, customers who were confirmed as transacting either through bank account, debit card, or credit card, any purchases in Washington, D.C. between 1/5 and 1/6. So you could have just been there going out to eat, buying a pair of tennis shoes, and they were turning that information over to the police. If you purchased a weapon, they turned it over to the police. So when I saw that, Dr. Youngblood, that was just a huge red flag that went up that made me think that if you're going to purchase a weapon anytime here in the future, your best bet is to use cash.
Absolutely. In fact, Congressman, we've got another call on the line, but before we take that call, let's elongate this thought just a brief period. For example, with Bank of America, with what they did, and I understand there are about 211 customers that were identified that had used their charge cards in Virginia and the northern portion of Virginia and in D.C. Beltway proper, and they are now being interrogated as though they're suspects in a crime that they did not participate in or commit. How is that for liberties and religious freedoms and our freedom of speech and the freedom of movement? Isn't that putting a squelch on the thought or the process, the possibility of people thinking that I can use my charge card, I can pay my bills with that, and at the same time now knowing that it's not private information that the bank should hold and protect, as you just said. What are the future? What does that portend for the future for us?
Well, every citizen has an expectation and a right to privacy. For this bank to step upon that egregiously sends a bad message out to all Americans. And what it would make you do is hesitate as to when you would want to use. Okay, first of all, those people had no idea that they were, because they were using their debit or credit card in those areas, as you mentioned, at that time, that that would subject them to some criminal investigation. They had no idea. So today, you or I, Dr. Youngblood, could go and buy a sandwich somewhere, and then a crime happens in that area, which you have no relation to at all, and all of a sudden, you're under investigation. That sends a very chilling effect out on commerce, on how we want to conduct business. It's just a Bank of America really stepped over the line at this point, and I hope citizens who are being investigated will push back, and perhaps with lawsuits against Bank of America.
Well, I'm praying that everyone listening, if you got a Bank of America card in your pocket, switch companies. I have one in my pocket. I made the decision when this came out that I was going to, whatever balance, transfer it to another card or another account or another bank and call them and ask them to cancel the card and tell them why. The only thing that places like this and organizations like this understand is M-O-N-E-Y. Mike, hold on just a moment. I believe we have Bob on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead with the question or comment.
Hi, Pastor. I was wondering if the congressman could answer the question of whether Mike Pence let us down. Did he stab us in the back with his treatment? With Trump.
All right, Congressman, go ahead with your answer.
Well, that's a good question. And it depends on how you read the Constitution. In my opinion, I don't think that Vice President Pence intentionally stabbed President Trump in the back. Even though that was indeed the act, I don't think that was his intention. Because when you read the Constitution and it talks about the counting the electoral votes, it says that the vice president is to convene the meeting. He is the supervisor of that meeting, and he is to request the calling out of the votes. I kind of paraphrased there, but essentially that's it. He is the one who is over the meeting, and he says he'll call out each various state, Alaska, Alabama, Arizona, and ask each one, how do you does your state vote with the Electoral College? And as far as I can read in the Constitution, that's his responsibility.
Now, if I could jump in for a moment and ask the question, Congressman, is it possible that he could have opened the meeting, gavel the meeting open, and then make a declaration that these certain states, the battleground states, had not been fully vetted and certified, and therefore we will not go forward with the certification until that had been done. Did he have that leverage to do that?
Yes, he did. He absolutely did. And I think what Vice President Pence was looking at that time was that even though there were some contested Electoral College electors coming in, he said what has been certified by each of those states, and they had been, those battleground states, erroneously they had been certified coming out of Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, and the others. They have been certified by the state supervisor of elections and the governor. And that's what he was going by. However, they were contested also in many of those states by the Republican Party, who said, no, those electors are not correct, here are ours. So, yes, it very well could have been interpreted that Vice President Pence could have said, we're not going to proceed with this at this time, and it would have stopped. It could have been done. Now, again, did he intentionally stab President Trump in the back? I don't think so. I think what he was doing, what he thought was his responsibilities at the time, he was probably advised wrongly by those who were around him.
Somebody like the head of the Senate, would you say? Anyway, Bob, did that answer your question?
Yeah, what about attending the inauguration? That was a slap in the face to Trump.
Mike, what do you say to that?
Yes. I've actually met Vice President Pence. He came to Pensacola during a Trump rally, and I was over in a VIP section, and he walked up and was very gracious, introduced himself to me, shook my hand, and we warmly greeted each other. I have seen him give speeches, and he comes across to me as a genuine Christian gentleman. And so I've met him more than once. I met him in New Orleans at a Council for National Policy meeting. And he comes across to me as a genuine Christian who tries to do the right thing. And I think what he did when he attended the Biden inauguration, I would not have. And I agree with President Trump, who did not also. I think what Biden, Pence was trying to show was that as a Christian, he was going to attend and just be a person of peace. That's what I think he did. I don't think he was intentionally saying, putting his thumb in President Trump's eye and just stabbing him in the back. I don't think that was it at all. I think he was just going as he saw was a responsibility of his and as a person of peace. That's how I interpreted that, even though I would not have gone myself.
I'm in agreement with that statement. Bob, let me, while you're on the line, I'm looking at an article that says the tyrannical conspiracy to silence conservatives. Bob, while we've got Congressman Hill on the line as we have this conversation, do you see a conspiracy out of the Biden administration to silence Christians and conservatives? And if so, how so?
Pastor, I just met with my pastor an hour or two ago, and I told him that by the end of the summer, we'll all be in jail.
I believe that you're almost on target with it. Congressman, how do you respond to that, where this article says the tyrannical conspiracy of the Biden administration to silence conservatives? It's written by David Limbaugh, and he says, now the speech of millions have gone from just being hateful to now considered dangerous speech.
Well, it is a very dangerous slope that the Democrats are taking us. And what is ironic is that before the election took place, it was plainly made known to American citizens what would happen if the Biden-Harris administration came into power. And I'm going to say this. They came into power by stealing an election. It was clearly election fraud that should have been stopped. And we had several who abdicated their responsibility, including the U.S. Supreme Court, who did not stop that fraudulent election from proceeding all the way up to the inauguration day. It should have been stopped, but it wasn't. There's been a terrible veil of darkness that has been thrown over America, a veil of deceit and lies. And right now, true patriots are coming under attack. And what we have to do is not give in to it, not cave. Continue to exercise your First Amendment right to speak out, to live your lives as free Americans, and not be concerned what this radical left is going to do to you. Live
Absolutely.
Free or die.
Absolutely, Congressman. Congressman, hold on just a minute. Bob, just out of curiosity before I let you go, what did your pastor say to your comment?
He laughed. We both had a good laugh about it. We were laughing, but I was sort of half serious.
You need to be. We need to be serious, and I think every pastor, preacher, teacher, Christian leader needs to be very serious, and we need to scream it from the rooftop. If not, We're simply going to be eviscerated as a people. But Bob, thank you so much for calling today, and keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Congressman, let me shift gears for just a moment. We've got a few minutes left in the broadcast. You're familiar with, I'm sure, the U.S. Supreme Court's adjudication of the question about the churches and the closure being forced out in California. And you know they said that the churches can reopen, but there was a caveat to that. And that caveat was written in the opinion by Kavanaugh and Barrett. And that caveat said that the churches can reopen, that the governor cannot keep them shut down, but that the governor can say that there's a limit to 25% and that they cannot sing or have hymn books because of the COVID. Do you think that is destroying our First Amendment or our religious liberties?
Absolutely. There should not have been a but anywhere in there. The First Amendment says we have the freedom of religion, that it should not be infringed upon. And for a Supreme Court justice to try and throw out an arbitrary number, 25%, why not 28%? Why not 31%? Where do you get 25% from? To have the audacity to think that they can set a percentage of the number of people who can worship at any one time is just outrageous. And then to say that you can't sing your praises to the living God because it might spread some disease, that is outrageous. And Kavanaugh and Barrett both, along with Gorsuch, I'll throw him in there too, they fooled President Trump. They fooled the conservative right into thinking that they were going to be conservatives, and they're not. They have abdicated their responsibility. What they are supposed to do is to be impartial judges as to the constitutionality of laws that have been made, not to give their own opinion, their own thoughts, or some arbitrary 25% only can meet and you can't sing. That is ridiculous and outrageous, and it should be ignored. If I were a pastor of a church, all of my church congregation would gather, and we would sing praises to the Lord God Almighty as loud as we could.
Amen. Brother, thank you so much for that. Congressman, we're delighted that you could join us today. Thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.